step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Coming to you live from the cursed bed, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who puts the odd in Odyssey, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live Monday night Big Brother countdown. And I guess only two Monday nights left in this whole thing. And where has the time gone? The next time we'll be together, we will be in the six in Toronto, and I'm very excited about that, to see everybody there. And why don't we start with a man that I have cast a punishment on him. He will have no more hosting the LFC roundtable from now on. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, sorry, had to do it.
I can't believe this. I can't. I'm not mad, Rob, but I'm not mad.
I had to. And now here's the man who can't Periscope for 6 months now. Here's Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
That would be a real punishment considering the, as much periscoping as I've been doing lately. Actually, I didn't know that I was going to be on the show tonight. I sort of like sometimes I don't check the schedule. So I wouldn't have periscoped last night if I knew that. But I was like, whatever. I got more to say. It's cool.
Okay. All right. So a lot to do here on a Monday night. And very excited to be back with you guys for our final live show before we hit the road and go up to Toronto. So are you guys pumped? Are you packed?
Yes, pumped and almost packed.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm in mid-packing right now, so I need to go back and finish that after we get done. And yeah, I was like, it's like I'm being on the block. Who knows what's going to happen from here?
Yeah.
Gonna pack those bags.
All right. If you want to join us this Thursday night at the Sheraton Center in Toronto, still some tickets available. If you want to check that out, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BB Can. And it should be, based on what we're seeing this week, an exciting Thursday night for sure. But first, we are going to be focusing much of our attention on last Thursday night and the triple eviction. So we'll rehash that a little bit. And we had a really fun sequence going on with Karen. Not a lot in terms of moving the ball forward in terms of gameplay, but then we'll get into all of that once we get to the live feeds. Of course, hashtag RHAP for those of you who want to get your questions into the show. And once again, great job on the LFC roundtable once again this past week, Taryn and Brent.
Yes, are so much fun.
Yeah,
and we had the whole crew. We were arguing about stuff. It was great.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. So check that out on the Rehap Ops YouTube channel. And at least one more coming up this Sunday while we still have live feeds. All right, so I guess let's just talk through a couple things from tonight. And then I think we'll probably really spend most of our time in the live feeds. Brent, anything come out from the triple eviction that we didn't know tonight?
It was interesting to see Dre's reaction. We had heard tell of this on the live feeds that the minute that the votes came in and Jackie was ultimately evicted, that Dre decided to go right after Dylan and start yelling at him. By the way, Dre, worst timing ever to have a blow up and decide to turn up, as they would say, as Marcia would say. Just a terrible timing. I can't believe she played such a great game and it absolutely evaporated in the course of 24 hours. The show did a, you know, average job of showing you basically what happened the night before. They distilled it down to its bare parts. But basically, Dre was exposed as flip-flopping, which she was doing. The problem was that she was actually telling Dylan the truth, which was that she wanted to vote out Ika, but Karen and Dylan thought they were being set up by Dre, and they decided to vote against her, and that's ultimately what led to the events of the triple eviction, and the show showed us most of that.
Bataryn, what a great meltdown by Dre when she goes off on Dylan. She says, you know what, Dylan? Kiss this ass. Kiss the ass that twerks. Kiss this twerking ass.
This is the first time I've ever seen somebody angrily twerk at people. Just like, yeah, you know, I'm so angry at you. I'm gonna start twerking at you. That's how angry I am.
I am the one who twerks.
Yeah. From my point of view,
how many times have we listened on the live feeds to Dre saying that she's going to turn up and finally, and she never did. She never did. And it got to be like Cody, where he was going to, you know, really tell people off with Derek trying to calm him down, you know, like it never happened. Like, and she finally does it. And on the night that she decides to do it is not the night to do it. And she goes home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Cody had eventually turned up and it just amounted to him twerking at Victoria?
That would be good. That'd be good. And I have to say that the person that went out with the smallest of whimpers in this season had to have been William. The guy barely made a peep during the live show. Did we even see him tonight, Brent?
I'm thinking no. I mean, the only time we heard his name was when Kevin was in the storage room talking with Karen that Ika is not going to vote to keep William. So Kevin didn't want to give Dimitri and Ika the satisfaction of a three-way tie, which would have happened if he would have voted to keep William. And then, you know, Ika voted to keep Dre and Karen voted to keep Dylan. Dimitri could have broken the tie. So that's why Kevin was talking with Dylan, talking with Karen. But yeah, really, you know, playing an admirable game. I mean, it's not a game that I really liked, and he really bothered me most of the season because I felt like he was sort of like people were telling him what was going on with Kevin and he just didn't want to hear it. Like he was being led in one way with his heart and he just didn't want to hear from anybody else that Kevin was using him for game purposes. So, I mean, an admirable game, but as Alex pointed out on the round table yesterday, if he goes the full Nelson or the full Murphy, supposedly, and, you know, uses both of the vetoes on Bruno and Kevin there.
Oh, I think when you said full Murphy, I thought you were going to say that he's going to stump for Kevin and then propose to him.
I was looking for a name, but I couldn't find it. basically, if he goes the whole nine yards and he uses both vetoes on Bruno and Kevin, that those are two massive targets in front of him. And he probably survives the triple eviction and has a real shot to win this.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I think the worst move is when he sees Dre twerking, he doesn't twerk as well. I think that's why he doesn't get the screen time here.
Yeah.
Kevin might have said, oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, it was like he just got ridden off the show, Taryn. He was just like so quickly, just like such an afterthought, even in the exit interview.
Girl, bye.
Yeah. I mean, do you have one person that twerks and one person that doesn't? You're going to go with the one that twerks.
Yeah. I did my exit interview with Jackie and then with William and Dre, and I was it took every ounce of composure I had to not reveal to Jackie that Dre and William, because all she was talking about is how they were going to win. She was like going to miss them so much. It's just like,
right?
Killing me.
They're going to do so well. I hope they do well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those were the two people that she hugged on the way out. And of course, they went right home right after her.
Yeah, the kiss of death.
Kiss of death. And she touched that bed.
Cursed bed. Yeah.
Yes.
Who knew? Who knew? So, all right. So let's just get into a little bit of the fallout from the triple eviction. Because right after it happened, we got to see Kevin basically outing that, just so you guys know, I had an alliance with DeMica. Demetrius and I said they were going to keep me safe, just so you guys know. I have to say, Taryn, I give a lot of credit to Ika, who handled that really well. Like, she did not go full Dre.
Yeah, definitely. What you want to do in that situation is, okay, yeah, you're telling the truth, but guess what? I trusted them more because they just gave me their votes. I'm not going to turn my back on them. Essentially saying, yeah, I played you, and what we just did showed that we're loyal to them and not you. So you can whine all you want about it, but we're still loyal to them and you're still on the outs.
Yeah, I felt like Kevin was being a little bit extra throughout the triple eviction and throughout the aftermath and the fallout of it. There have been various times in this season where I feel like Kevin is playing it up. He wants good TV. He makes moves that are sexy and he wants to make sure that the cameras are on him. There was one time where I even saw him look to make sure the camera was looking at him and then decide to go on a rant about Ika. So I feel like he was being a little bit thick on that night with laying it on about, you know, you made a mistake and you shouldn't have done this. And by the way, we had an alliance called the business people or the business person. It was the business partners, you bitch. You were the one who was part of it. It annoys me so much because he keeps going on about this alliance and he doesn't even get the name right. I'm watching the live feeds and I know the name of it. But yeah, it was the business partners and they were supposed to keep each other safe. But I can't believe he actually believes that that DeMica would have really kept him safe all the way through to the final three. I mean, that was a total sham. It was like both of them were lying to each other. It just depended on who got power. And, you know, I thought he was acting a little bit much with that.
Well, that's an interesting observation. And Taryn, we saw Ika say to Dre, "You can't Ika Wong, Ika Wong." Do you believe that there's been an Ikafication of the house and that even Kevin has now fallen into the mold of Ika? And is that what you have to do, is just like go on a rant about things to try to get your way?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Brent is right. Like, I don't think Kevin actually believed in this alliance. He was talking to the feeds like, you know, I'm not going to stay true to this alliance. They're not going to stay true to this alliance. So I think all of that stuff, I do think there was a part of it that was he had a lot of adrenaline running through his body after that whole triple, then veto and all of that. But I do think it was 100% played up in the same way that ultimately his speech, I think, was a little bit played up, where you can't make Kevin mad. Kevin doesn't get mad. Kevin has no emotions. Yeah. So any of this, I do think, is just him being like, Ika is a queen, she's a goddess, and I need to follow along her mold and be extra, as Brent says.
Let's do a quick check-in with you guys in terms of season rankings. That is Big Brother Canada 5 in the running for the best season, Brent, because I feel like that there has not been a dull week.
There really hasn't. And this final five is really, really fun. Even before the results of the HOH competition and the veto's results came in, I'm just loving this cast, and the twists that they have tried to unleash on the house have been negligible at best. And I know I don't want to test fate by saying that.
They dodged a bullet with that triple eviction. They really did.
Yeah. Yes, like Neo. Like, we were on this podcast saying, wouldn't it be great if Dimitri won the HOH and Kevin won the veto? And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. So, yeah. I mean, to lose Dre and William and Jackie in one night was like by the grace of God. So I really do think that Big Brother Canada 5 is, I think it's really strong and the gameplay is really interesting. And there's also a few interesting pieces on the game board that don't necessarily act logical, and you have to play within the confines of the current game. And as Alex pointed out on the podcast yesterday, playing poker with a bunch of poker players who know how to play poker, everybody knows what everybody's going to do because everybody's acting self-interested. If there's a player in the game who doesn't really know poker and they're also playing and they're just shoving in and getting lucky, that's infuriating to play against, but you still have to play with that person because they're at the table. So that's where we're at right now.
I think that in terms of personality and like raw entertainment and unpredictability, it's probably at number one already. In terms of gameplay, I would have it closer to number three. I think Big Brother Canada 1 and 2 had better gameplay and more interesting dynamics. But this one is definitely very on fire and lots of, you know, crazy personalities, unpredictable things happening. So it's definitely up there. It's number three for me, but I can see why some other people might have it up there.
So you're saying it's like Big Brother Canada 5 is more Brent and Big Brother Canada 2 is more Taryn.
Yeah.
And what else do you have? The first way you have 2-1-5. Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see how it plays out. But I mean, I just go by, you know, how many boring weeks you have, how many exciting weeks you have. And I feel like that we have, just with all of the vets going after each other, you know, you really had a lot of excitement all through the beginning and the middle, which, you know, can sort of drag at times. And then just to lose like three of those red shirts in one night, where, and not to imply, like Dre, I think, is not a red shirt, but to lose Jackie, Dre, and William in one night, I mean, the show could not have scripted it better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was an amazing night of television, and I'm hoping that our luck continues, Rob. I really am.
Okay, well, we'll see. So we got the HOH challenge, and Kevin wins the HOH. Really worst case scenario for DeMica, with Kevin ending up winning the challenge. Were you guys amused by the drunk speeches?
I mean, it was interesting. I'm sure Taryn probably agrees. It was basically a play on some of the other things they've done in the past where it was like, you know, who made this speech? I think in season three, at the final four, there was an HAH competition where, you know, who made this speech on what night? And you have to turn your wheel to the person who said it. The difference this time was you had to identify the days. I mean, this just shows you who's studying, who's not. Kevin knew all of these down pat. Dylan didn't know where he was. Karen wasn't sure what day it was. And Ika was vacillating. So, I mean, they haven't been studying like they needed to. I feel like there's an element of this that is a little bit Big Brother Canada 4-esque, where, you know, like Joel and Tim and Cassandra couldn't win a competition to save their life down the stretch. I feel like Ika would just spend a little bit more time studying with Dimitri rather than distracting him by cuddling. I feel like they might do a little bit better.
Maybe. If you want to hear us do drunk speeches, you can make the podcast at 0.5 speed also, just to play along with that. All right. Kevin wins the HOH. I did like it when Kevin wanted to show everybody his HOH room and nobody wanted to go see it.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I must say, I was a little bit miffed with the show that they did not give us the Peely letter from home or the video from home while William was still in the house.
Oh.
I think that would have been extra, Rob. That would have been great. That would have been just to watch the steam coming out of his ears while Peely's saying, "Hey, babe, how you doing, babe? What's up?" Yeah. I would have been there for it.
It would have been fun. It would have been fun to see all that. So we had a long segment with Karen and Marcia the Martian, and it was fun. It was really a play on Ika shredding the letters. This time out, Karen had to assign punishments to everybody. But Taryn, did you feel like that? Was there a downside to Karen's game in doing this? Because she did such a good job. And I feel like that while it was so much fun to watch, that I feel like that there's got to be like some people taking away like, boy, Karen can lie. Karen can be pretty deceptive here.
I mean, we might say that if Karen had a game.
Yeah.
To lose.
That's some shade.
Yeah. But no, I thought this was amazing. I loved this. I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, if Karen is a player who cares about winning, she doesn't have to play it up as well as she does. But she wants to. She's there to make good TV, and that's what she did. And it was amazing TV.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Though, Brent, that somebody doesn't like end up like if somebody had like some like pact with Karen and they don't come out and like Karen, how could you? And then like start outing secrets and blowing stuff up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this was probably a good time to do it at the final five when basically all the pieces are on the game board and everybody basically knows where they are, or everybody thinks they knows where they are. I think that it was fun watching her dole out the tasks and watching everybody's face, you know, with total fear. Like, I was really hoping that she gave Kevin the can't play in the final four veto, because that would have been like the death knell for him. I mean, like, you know, because he can't play in HOH next week. But I don't know. Maybe they Big Brother asked her to do it this way or something. I'm not sure exactly what, but I feel like the punishments that she handed out, Ika's was the worst, which was
no more
can't ever vote again. I mean, I didn't even know how that would work. If you win something, you can't vote, or I'm not even sure. So it was a fun task. I thought here's the thing. I thought the build up to it and the actual them watching her assign the punishments was fantastic. Fantastic television. The reveal was a little bit like, I feel like by that point, maybe they had figured out that this was not really legit, but it was still a fun task.
I want to talk to you about Ika and her reaction during all of this, because you saw Karen repeatedly say like, Ika, I know you would have done this. I know you would have done this too, Ika. I know you would have done it. You did it, Ika. And Ika kept saying like, I'm not mad. Has Ika sort of like developed some self-awareness where she is not trying to be hypocritical? Like, she knows it would be hypocritical of me to judge this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when Ika was yelling this, I was like, God, she is exactly Brent, like to a T. Mm-hmm. Like yelling at somebody and also saying I'm not mad at the same time.
I'm not mad. I just want you to know I'm not mad.
Exactly.
but
yeah, I mean, I think that's totally what it was. Like, she completely understood that this is the situation that she was in, and she tried to be, you know, these are not letters. These are not letters. This is different, but I'm not mad. I'm not mad. It's okay.
I mean, I think that the fact that, I mean, like, remember, like, on Big Brother Canada, the first place is $100,000 and the runner up gets $20,000. So they were offering Karen $10,000 to do this. You know, she's a 53-year-old mom with a couple kids. I mean, she needs to take the money. I think they get it. I think they were just lamenting the fact that Big Brother actually unleashed these punishments into the house for her. I think they knew that she had to take the money, but they were just lamenting that the punishments even existed in the first place. They were more mad at Big Brother than Karen.
What's second place on Big Brother Canada?
$20,000.
$20,000. Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, maybe this is too hopeful, but I feel like past Big Brother Canada producers would have made this an actual twist. And these would have been actual things that happened. But I feel like maybe there's a chance here that they've learned, they've grown, and they understand that they don't have to actually do the twist. They can just fake them out, do a fun, really fun task like this. It has all of the benefits of the actual twist without the downsides of what the twist does to the game. I really love this.
Okay.
Yeah, but the one thing they could have done is give Karen a little bit of cash. I mean, come on. She went in there. She basically risked maybe elements of her game in order to pull this off really well and show everybody that she's a really great actress and that she can lie. They could have thrown her a bone and said, you know, we're not going to give you $10,000, but we'll give you a $5,000.
No, they took away the have-not room. That was enough.
No, whoopee. All right.
All right. And then not a lot of game talk the rest of the way. We got to see a little bit of Demetrius and Ika talking, and then a little bit of Kevin working things out with Dylan. We've seen this done so many different ways, whether it's with Skittles or all sorts of objects. But Taryn, we had the pillow talk.
Yes. And Dylan with like great facial reactions throughout the entire episode, just like very, very like shocked, like, oh my God, those pillows go over there. And oh man, it was great pillow talk. Kevin's good at it.
Yeah. Very good pillow talk. That's what William says too, Brent.
Yes, exactly. He's very good at the pillow talk. This is the one part in the night where my stream froze a little bit, and it's froze right at the point where Kevin was getting out the pillows and putting them down. So I knew exactly what he was going to do, because he's been doing this with sprinkles in the past and, you know, helping with his days and moving positions around and whatnot. But it was a good visual reference for a big guy like Dylan. The one interesting part of this whole conversation is that Karen was outside listening to parts of this, and this even cemented her more in Dimitri's and Ika's corner, because they all said, we're not going to go to Kevin. We're not going to talk to him. It's not his game, because they all wanted to be there. Rob, believe it or not, this is a thing. They all wanted to be there at the Final Four awards banquet where they give out all the awards, you know, and on Big Brother Canada. And the fact that Kevin won HOH, of course, put a kibosh on that. But Karen has been telling everybody, you know, we're not going to let him control our week. It's our HOH week, not his, not Kevin Martin, not over my dead body.
So in essence, that Dylan did the biggest betrayal possible, that he went and talked to Kevin Martin and talked about working with him. And in Karen's mind, that is an unforgivable sin.
That is an unforgivable sin. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because they said they weren't going to do it. And there are, you know, parts of this where I've always said that Karen was always more loyal to Dimitri's and Ika, even when they eventually did put her up on the block. That was the part where their relationship was at their lowest. But prior to that, she had been unequivocally loyal to them. Since then, that trust has been built back up, culminating with the night before the triple eviction when, you know, Karen threw her lot in with Dimitri's and Ika. So I feel like their relationship is back to full strength at this point.
Taryn, I thought that Karen was the new Emily.
You know, Dylan thought that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe she was, to be honest. Maybe this is what Emily would have done too if she had stayed.
Yeah, I think that she was his new Emily, but she never once told Dylan that he was her Bruce. With Bruce, by the way, is Karen's husband from back home.
Bruce Almighty. Okay. Yes. So what I'd like to do, unless you guys have anything else from the episode, I feel like we have so much stuff to talk about from the live feeds. I'd like to switch gears a little bit earlier than we might, because I feel like that most of the questions are going to have to do with stuff going on in the live feeds.
And but Rob, Kevin said in this episode that there's no chance that Dimitri's or Ika will survive this week. I mean, he said that. So
are you sure? No, were you watching last week's episode, Brent? Like you were watching last week. That's what yeah. But this time he's going to get them. This time.
This time he's going to get them. Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. I know you're not watching a rerun. We're back exactly where we were a week ago. So we're going to get into the live feeds. If you're watching the show live, we're going to go right into it. If you're watching us in the archives, we're going to take a quick break and be back right after this and then live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Do I have to bring the buzzer to Toronto?
Yes.
The problem is that, yeah, I gotta like sometimes it'll be like in my suitcase and you just feel like, I gotta like shake the suitcase. Yeah.
Yeah. That happens with my electric razor all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I like have driven in the car with it. I think at one of the shows that I had done a few years, maybe it was like when we did the live shows with Brendan Rachel, I think back in 2014. And it's like driving around in the car. And then it was like, I like turned in the car. And then like in the car, I was just like, driving like, come on. Okay. Sorry for that aside, everybody.
I only remember the live show where you did with Brendan and Rachel, where Rachel kept dinging the bell.
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to keep that bell right next to me on Thursday.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. All right. So let's get everybody caught up now with the live feeds. Taryn, what happened with the veto?
Kevin won the veto. He beat Dimitri for the first time in a competition. Yes.
All right. Well, that's that. So
there we go. Dimitri's done.
Goodbye, DeMica. Nice knowing you. Kevin won the HOH, won the veto. The unthinkable has happened. And Canada's favorite couple will be no more, Brent.
Definitely. I thought it was interesting from this veto competition that it was the first one was a Baywatch based veto competition. They had to like get in the pool and pull dummies out again. You know, obviously, I feel like Dylan or Demetrius or Kevin is going to win this. Ike and Karen are going to really have a really hard time pulling 60-pound dummies out of the damn pool and carrying them back and forth. But that's what the veto competition was. Well, at one point, Ike realized she wasn't going to win and she started helping Demetrius. And that was the one thing that Kevin worried about going into this competition was he didn't want it to be like last season with the final five with Joel, Cass, and Tim with the popcorn competition all helping each other. Obviously, you know, everybody ended up getting mad at Joel because he ended up not helping, but that's besides the point. He wanted to make sure it was a straight up competition. Even with Ika helping Demetrius, Kevin ended up beating him by, I think it was very close, but he ended up beating him. So the one thing, interesting thing to note is that even before this veto competition, Kevin was talking to himself in the storage room. Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong. He was talking to himself. I can't remember where it was because he had two different conversations with himself. Kevin talks to himself all the time.
He talks to his little pig.
Yes. Yeah. And he talks out loud to himself all the time.
Yeah, I watched the one of him talking to himself in the bathtub.
Yep.
Well, that was after, but yes, exactly. He has said that if he won the power of veto, he was going to use it on Ika. Because and put up Dylan as the replacement nominee because he doesn't trust Dylan and Karen to evict Dimitri. He is really scared that everyone views him as the massive jury threat, which, by the way, he has not done a very good job of diffusing that. He kind of just says, yeah, all my friends are in jury. Yeah, I'll win if I get to the final two. So he's nervous because a couple things happen. Dylan and Karen both went to Kevin and said they spooked him. They said, you know, Ika's really the main jury threat here. What about evicting her instead of Dimitri's? And that combined with his natural inclination for worrying that maybe they weren't going to do what he wanted is what is propelling him to consider taking Ika off the block and replacing with Dylan. Little does he know, Karen, Ika, and Dimitri's actually want him to do that, and Karen really would betray Dylan if he did that.
Yeah. Taryn, you made such an interesting point about Kevin's game on the LFC Roundtable show. And just in case people didn't catch that show, could you reset what you were saying about Kevin and how he treats his enemies and how he treats his allies?
Well, yeah, like I was talking about before, Kevin basically, he plays the game. He tries his best to play the game with no emotion. And so what he does is he feels like when he has an enemy, he needs to win them over. So he's as honest and kind and does as many things for them as possible, while at the same time, you know, negating his emotions toward his allies and saying, I can lie to them, I can betray them, I can stab them in the back. He usually has one person, like, you know, Bruno this season, Jordan his season, that he is loyal to, but the rest of them, he's fine with cutting. And so that's why people look at him like he's such a liar, because he's telling the truth to his enemies, but they're seeing him lying to his own allies. So like, why would I trust him when he's an enemy?
Yeah, I thought that was just a really keen observation about Kevin, and explains a lot of the mistrust about him going on here throughout the season. All right, so going into the power of veto ceremony, Kevin feels like I need to take Ika down. And were Ika and Demetrius, did they think it was a trick?
Well, first of all, Kevin never exposed that he was going to do anything. Karen, Demetrius, and Ika were secretly plotting behind Kevin's back, saying, wouldn't it be great if we could get Kevin to put up Dylan? And they had decided ultimately that they weren't going to talk to him about it because they didn't want him to spook him and accidentally Karen end up on the block. The thing with Kevin is that he's also worrying that Ika might self-evict at some point in order to give Demetrius a chance. And that might come back to be important later on down the line, because as this week has gone on, Kevin has realized that Ika really would have, in his mind, really would have done that and given up her game for Demetrius. And he can't really respect somebody who will give up her game. So I think he feels more confident with, you know, voting for Demetrius if it was like a Demetrius and Ika final two. There's a lot of moving parts here, but basically Kevin was plotting to put Dylan up on the block. Karen, Demetrius, and Ika really wanted him to put Dylan up on the block, but both of them for completely different reasons. And of course, Dylan doesn't know what the hell is going on because he's over here in La La Land. Karen eventually did, even though they said, we're not going to talk to him, on the day of the veto ceremony, which, by the way, was yesterday, not today. It's always in the final five. It's sort of always weird. They always have it on Sundays, not Mondays. Karen decided to talk to Kevin and said, basically they got to a point where they were talking about Dylan, and she said, oh, you know, I'm not in a pair with him. That's done now. Like, I would totally vote out Dylan if it came to it. And Taryn, what else did she say? She said, basically intimating that, you know, we're not that strong of a pair anymore. And I think Kevin listening to this was probably wondering, where is this woman coming from and why is she telling me this? Like, you know, he knows that Karen has been against him this entire time, so he's not exactly sure, is she telling me the truth or is she lying here? And maybe she's using some reverse psychology to not get me to put up Dylan, which is what he wanted to do. And by the way, he also thinks it's the good sexy move, by the way. He thinks it'll be interesting TV because he'll think that Ika won't want the veto, and then he'll pull her off the block and force her to accept it. So Karen decided to talk to Kevin about this, and then that's when the feeds went down. And we thought it was either the Baywatch movie or it was the veto ceremony, and it turned out it was the veto ceremony.
Well, Taryn, I have to give Kevin some credit, because if he wanted to make some good TV, I think that he has done exactly that, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the idea behind it from Kevin is he needs to make sure that at least one of Dimitri or Dylan goes home, and he definitely doesn't want Ika to go home. She is very bad at the competitions, and he was very nervous that Ika was going to stay. It turns out he was right. The thing that he's missing is that if he had put up Karen, that probably would have guaranteed that Dimitri stayed, Dimitri left. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
So that's the movie he was missing. So like, you understand where he's coming from, but obviously misguided, because he was missing this very obvious move that he needs to put up Karen on the block instead.
Right. Dylan has been really, really honest with Kevin, which is usually a trait that I criticize Kevin for. Dylan has basically said to Kevin, you know, I'm not sure if I believe you when you say you want to take me to the end. And I'm not sure if I can trust you at this point. You know, you're obviously a massive jury threat. So he's thinking out loud and basically tells Kevin, you know, we may want to keep Dimitri here because we're really scared of you in a final two situation and nobody can beat you. So I mean, Kevin is nervous that Dylan is not going to do what he wants, and he's thinking he might do something crazy. Like Taryn correctly points out, the move is putting Karen on the block. But again, Kevin doesn't trust Dylan because Dylan just spouts all of his feelings, and Kevin's not sure exactly what to believe. And he wants to make sure at all costs that Ika stays in the house, because Ika is somebody that Kevin feels really confident with beating in the final competitions, and he wants to get rid of Dimitri. He wants it to be a 1-1 tie, hopefully, and then he could break the tie, send Dimitri out, and go into the final four with Dylan, Karen, and Ika.
So what is Kevin's reaction going to be on Thursday? Is he just going to be gobsmacked when this doesn't happen?
He already knows that Karen is going to evict Dylan. Yeah. Yes. And right after the veto ceremony happened, basically it became very clear that Karen was going to keep Dimitri, which, you know, Kevin was like, oh, well, what are you going to do? At least one of them's going.
Right. And he sort of tried to say, this is the conversation that you were talking about, Rob. It's so funny because you have five different people, none of which really understand what is happening here. You have Kevin, who is talking to himself in the bathtub.
Hey,
saying,
somebody has to talk to him.
I know, right? He's talking to himself in the bathtub saying, well, I had to make this move. This was the right move to make. It was the only logical move. I could have put Karen up on the block, but I couldn't trust Dylan to actually do what I wanted to. So I had to put Dylan up on the block. I know Karen won't betray Dylan. This is yesterday that he was having this conversation with himself. Dylan is absolutely gobsmacked and shook. He doesn't understand what the heck happened. Eventually, he settled on a reason that Kevin really wants him being Dylan out of the house, that he fears Dylan even more than Dimitri. Oh, that's how much Dylan thinks of himself.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
No, that is like, okay, Dylan.
Yeah, I know, right? Dylan actually thinks he's the most massive threat to win the competitions down the stretch. He doesn't really understand what's going on. Karen thinks that her great negotiating skills are what made this happen. She's telling Ika and Dimitri that, you know, I always get my way. I'm a shrewd negotiator. I'm a great manipulator. My husband, Bruce, will tell you that, you know, I'm great at it. And Ika and Dimitri, they don't know what the heck happened. They're just like, how did this happen? And what did you say to that poor kid, Karen? And Ika was saying that Karen was a witch. Dimitri really doesn't believe that he can't believe his good fortune here. Like, he was ready to go home. Right. And pack it in.
It really is amazing, the DeMica journey. I mean, it's so crazy, first of all, that we have Kevin as HOH 2 weeks in a row, targeting them to go out of the house, and 2 weeks in a row, both of them are somehow going to stay at the end of the week. And it's such an interesting pair in terms of a showmance. And we've seen showmances get far in the game at different points, going back to Jillian and Emmett specifically in Big Brother Canada 1, but they sort of like traded HOHs often. Right. This has been so weird, where Ika wins nothing. Demetrius is the only one that can win, and somehow they've managed to stay safe week after week, Taryn.
It's almost like this is an ideal pairing, because basically what happens is, if they ever get put on the block together, you have very, very prime target in Dimitri and like very, very non-target in Ika, because she can't win anything. So when Dimitri is able to save himself, which happens, you know, twice before this time, it's like, well, we could take Ika out, but what's the point? She can't win anything. Dimitri is the one that we needed to go after in the first place. So, you know, Dimitri ends up staying, and they both end up staying. And then now we're in this final five situation where that's not the case, but you have somebody like Karen who just wants to give up her game for them, essentially. And
that's not it, though. I don't agree that that's totally it. I mean, I think that there's an element that she wants to give up her game for Dimitris and Ika, but there's a bigger element that she wants to make sure that Martin doesn't win the game. Like, if she does anything this season, she's going to make sure that Kevin Martin is out of this game. And once she's done that, she's happy to go on her merry ways. Don't you agree with that?
And that's basically what she's telling Dylan right now on the feeds. Like, I just don't want to give Kevin the satisfaction of having the eviction vote. Like, I don't want to go along with what Kevin's doing. He put me in this terrible situation, and that's why I need to vote you out, Dylan.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that Karen has done a good job of trying to maintain Dylan's possible jury vote when he is ultimately evicted, because when Dylan came to her and said, you know, you got to stay with me, Karen, you got to stay with me. This is yesterday. You know, you can't flip on me. She's like, well, if it's a tie, then are you sure that Kevin's going to vote to keep you? I mean, he just betrayed you and put you on the block. Isn't he really after you in the first place? And that ultimately convinced Dylan that maybe Ika and Dimitris and Kevin are actually working together, and that he's the patsy for it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Ika win an HOH back in Big Brother Canada too?
And a veto. Yes, yeah. She won. Yes. So she's not totally terrible. This probably supports Taryn's previous point that he's made on podcast with me, that many of these competitions are luck based. And, you know, obviously she hasn't had any good luck this time around. Previously on Big Brother Canada too, she had a little bit of luck in her. She was only there for 4 weeks and she won an HOH and a POV. So, you know, You never know what's going to happen. But I will say this, those competitions early on in Big Brother, they are pretty much luck based. I mean, you know, you could roll a roulette ball down the thing. I mean, famously, the Pax brothers won something by rolling a ball down a ramp and it landing in the right circle, or for heaven's sake. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at Final Five and Final Four, Big Brother Canada, even Final Three, Big Brother Canada always goes all out with these competitions, with the days and the events and the house guests and the votes. I mean, I look back at these pictures of the previous four Final Four veto competitions, and they're absolutely massive and fun too. They really do a great job. Trevor Boris does a great job with it. So, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily an equal playing field at this point.
So can we just talk through the schedule here coming down this stretch for Big Brother Canada? So we're going to get down from 5 to 4 on Thursday. Are we getting down to 3 one week from tonight, Brent?
One week from tonight would be Monday. Possibly, yes. They always do. This is, you know, famous. I remember last year, Cass was the best player of last year, at least in my eyes. And she came out to an empty studio with just Arissa standing in it. So I'm sure that they're going to do a fast forward here where they're going to have an HOH competition, presumably between Dimitri's Karen and Ika on Thursday night, and get an HOH. They're probably going to have POV the next day, and they could have a ceremony and an eviction vote by Sunday. Or they could even be taped. I'm sure they would probably do it on Monday, but it could be on Sunday because they're not letting anybody in the studio for it.
Taryn, then what comes after that? Is there a Wednesday show and then it's a 2-hour finale?
I'm not sure if it's 2 hours. I guess I'd assume so. We have to get the, you know, Final Four award ceremony in there somewhere. So that'll probably be Monday, and then maybe ending with the veto competition or the eviction. And then, maybe it ends with the veto competition. Then Wednesday is the eviction, and then the finale is the Final Three HOH. And Wednesday might end with the first part of the Final Three HOH.
No, I mean, I feel like that what's going to happen is Thursday night, we're going to get an HOH, and then they only have one competition per show. So on Monday night, we'll have the Final Four awards banquet. There's not a lot of, there's no gameplay to be had. I mean, it's just, we need a veto competition, a veto competition ceremony, an immediate vote. And I'm sure that night somebody's going to be evicted. They go to credits. Wednesday night, we come back with a new HOH, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Let's play this out. So, okay. Dylan goes home on Thursday, hypothetically, if this holds, and then where do we go from here? Is it just Taryn, we can't prognosticate because of the competition wins?
Yeah, I mean, basically one of Kevin, Ika, or Dimitri will leave at the Final Four, and then depending on who's in the Final Three, it's going to be either Karen and somebody or Ika and Dimitri.
Okay, boy, this would be it's really getting down to it, Brent.
It is really getting down to it. The one interesting thing to keep note of is that Kevin can't play in the Final Four HOH competition. He only has the veto, and he has to win that veto. If he loses that veto, he's out of the game. And Demetrius and Ika have said to Karen in thanking her for her vote this week that they will give her the pleasure of having the vote to evict Kevin Martin at the Final Four if she's able to cast it.
Giving her another opportunity to tank her game.
I think that's a bad call. I mean, I know that she hates him, but she could have a momentary flash of self-interest and realize that it's not a good idea to take Dimitris and Ika to the Final Three because they'll take each other and I'm out. If I take Kevin and Ika, or Kevin and Dimitris to the end, whoever, Kevin, and, you know, if she takes the two boys to the end, then she's guaranteed to get the money. But she doesn't really care about that. She's a 53-year-old mom. She cares about relationships.
I don't care about money, Brent. I've said it a million times. I only care about screwing over that little puke, Kevin Martin.
Exactly. And she wants to be, and she said this on the feeds, she wants to be the Shelly to Dimitris and Ika's Jeff and Jordan. But she wants to go the full Shelly. She doesn't want to betray them early on in the game. She wants to make sure she takes them all the way, and she's happy to bow out Final Three. From Karen's perspective, she feels like that she's going to be fifth or fourth anyway. Like, she has this view of her game that is not exactly in concert with reality. So she, from her point of view, she's moved herself up from fifth and fourth to at least third by siding with Dimitris and Ika here. Of course, that couldn't really be further from the truth. She actually has a great shot to make it to the Final Two.
Taryn, what's the most compelling Final Two on the board in your mind?
I think, I mean, it's got to be either Aika and Dimitri or Kevin and Karen. I think those two pairs
Kevin
would be
and Karen,
great.
Though, as much as it would be funny, I don't find it to be compelling because I think that it would be Kevin winning in a runaway.
Well, some people debate that. I think it would be. There are a lot of people that are telling me, Karen beats Kevin, guys. It's right. Obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Taryn's acknowledging there is that there are a couple of scenarios that would be juicy on paper, but could never happen in reality. Like Aika versus Kevin would be very, very fun from our point of view to prognosticate, but we've worked it out, and there's absolutely no way that can happen. There's just not, because Kevin's in the pool of eligible house guests to be evicted this coming week for the Final Four veto. If he wins, he's not going to evict Karen. If he loses, he's going to be eliminated. So you see what I'm saying? There's no possible way that Aika and Kevin would take each other to the end if Karen is sitting there for them to go with.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I don't have a pen and paper in front of me to try to work
trust
it out.
Trust us, Rob.
Okay.
Trust us.
I trust the LFC.
The robot has it.
I trust the LFC. Now, is there any precedent in your mind for if Kevin is able to do what he's trying to do and get to the final two, have we seen a sort of like Mike Holloway-esque type run on Big Brother like this before, Taryn?
Never, not even close. Nobody has won out from Final Six on in the history of Big Brother. Kevin will have done it from the Final Eight on. And granted, there was a triple in there, but still, that would, even without the triple, that's Final Seven, which is 2 weeks further than anybody else has done in the history of Big Brother.
Yeah, Brent, just baking all that into it, I have to feel like that if Kevin gets to the Final Two, he's going to win, despite having, you know, or forget about the jury votes he has, just with all those comp wins at the end to say he got to that point when he was left for dead. I feel like right. That, you know, that's so impressive.
Well, if he gets to the end, I mean, look, here's the thing. There's only one person that Kevin is getting to the end with. It's Karen. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, the only, I'm trying to think of a scenario. I can't think of one. There's only person he can go to the end with is Karen, because he's always going to vote to keep her because he wants her in the game, and anybody else he would evict before her. And it just, the way it naturally plays out with the way people can and can't play in competitions going forward, with Kevin not being able to play in the HOH competition, he's going to go to the end with Karen. And if he gets there with Karen, I'm with Taryn. I actually do think it's a little bit more compelling, especially if Karen gives the speech that I want her to give, which is that, you know, I'm a 53-year-old woman and I really tried my best, and y'all can go F yourselves if you think that I didn't know what I was doing, and I did the best I could. And with the audience cheering for her on in the background, I think that she has a shot to win it. And with her showing so much love to Dimitris and Aika and Dylan this week, and by the way, she still has Dylan's jury vote. She could potentially get Jackie's jury vote. That's four. She only needs one more. Dre, William, I don't know. I mean, obviously William would probably vote for Kevin, but Dre's a possibility. I don't know. I can see it. I know Alex poo-pooed it, but I can see it.
Well, there's also the problem, though. I don't think she even has Aika and Dimitri locked at this point. Aika and Dimitri have talked privately, saying if Kevin is up against anybody but us, we have to vote for Kevin because he is a more worthy winner.
Yeah, but that's also right after he just put the veto around their neck and basically saved their butts. I mean, like, they're still in the euphoria of, oh, my God. I mean, you forget.
Sure. I'm saying it's not a given.
How quickly you forget that before, when they didn't think he was going to use the veto, they were putting honey all over the stuff in the HOH room. They took his pig and they hung it up. They wrapped his shoes in saran wrap, all these pranks. She didn't talk to him for 4 days. And at the veto ceremony, she told Kevin he can use that veto and shove it up his ass. So I don't really feel like their feelings for Kevin are accurately reflected by their current demeanor. I feel like they're just in the euphoria of the fact that, oh, my God, we're still here.
Yeah, okay. And right after she told him to shove it up his ass, he turned around and said, all right, so I'm using the veto on you.
Yeah. The one trap I don't want to fall into also is that things do change drastically. We think we know things. 2 days from now, the entire house could be flipped on its head.
I said this. Yeah. Yes, I also said this. Look, here's the thing, that Karen is really, she's acting in a way that is anathema to the way she should be acting if she was a self-interested player right now. So if she decides suddenly over the next 2 days, like, look, maybe Dimitris and Aika say something, maybe they give her a crossword, maybe the diary room asks her a different question. I know that at this point, earlier today, there have been things happening in the House where Sarah Hanlon came in and she threw pies at people. Dylan's mom came in and at some point whispered something to him. Like, I didn't see Bruce come in at some point, but I mean, you never know with Big Brother Canada. And if that happens, there's a chance, a sliver of a chance, that she could actually decide, hey, it's really not a good idea to take a showmance with me going forward. I would really want to vote to, you know, and not only that, but Dylan is the one guy I can beat in the final two. Why in the world would I evict him? If she suddenly like wakes up and decides
wake
to
up, Canada.
Switch her, then there's a chance, but I don't see it happening. And like I said, it's her hate for Kevin Martin. And you can call it, you say, oh, that's a strong word, Brent, it's a hate. But she really doesn't like him. She really doesn't. And
I
she
liked
wants to
him
sure
on his
loses.
Season on Big Brother Canada 3. I like that Kevin. This is yes. not that Kevin.
He's an arrogant little puke right now. That's what she thinks. And she wants to make sure that he loses. And the best way to make sure he loses is to keep in Dimitris. And by the way, like I said, she dislikes them better. She really does.
And it should not be undersold how terrible a move this is for Karen, because if Aika or Dimitri leaves at this point, she is basically guaranteed a spot in the final two. And two of those scenarios, at the very least, she has somewhat of a chance at, you know, against either Dylan or if people really think that she can beat Kevin, potentially Kevin. But with by keeping Aika and Dimitri, she's leaving in a scenario where she doesn't make it to final three or final two. And that's a very likely scenario. And even if she does make it to final two, her easiest beat is now gone from the house. It's bad on every single conceivable level.
Yeah, but can we also please read Kevin the Riot Act for this move? Because I think it was you on this podcast, not this podcast, but the Roundtable podcast yesterday, Taryn, who said, if Karen has just said to Kevin, I will vote Dylan out of the house. Like, I'm not loyal to him at all. We're not really a pair. There's no loyalty there. And he hears that. And then he goes and puts Dylan on the block. That the monstrosity of that terrible move needs to be at least talked about on this podcast. I mean, I feel like we've sort of like undersold how bad the move is from Kevin's point of view. If he would have just made this other move, then like putting Karen on the block, he could have potentially got his way. But his reads as a poker player suck so bad that he decided to make this idiot move by putting Dylan on the block. And now Dimitri's going to stay in the house because of it. Godfrey on Twitter was a little hyperbolic, but he was pretty accurate when he said, behold, the most foolish move in the history of Big Brother Canada. He said, as the white girls say, I can't even right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly not the most foolish move, but very foolish. He has a very bad read on the house. He should have been able to recognize that Dylan would not vote Karen out. If he puts Karen up, he gets rid of Dimitri. Dimitri is the biggest competition threat by far against him in this house. He has a much clearer path to the end if he does this. And people are dumping on him. As you mentioned, Godfrey is. People on Twitter are. So much so that they're getting on my case if I'm not dumping on him enough. They really want to, you know, kill Kevin for this. But again, everybody's making bad moves here. Aika and Dimitri, before this, were saying, don't even talk to Kevin. There's no way he would ever do this. They have an equally bad read on Kevin. And they, you know, he was easily convinced to do this. And they didn't even recognize that. They could have saved themselves had they done anything. They end up not doing anything. And it happens to work out for them. But they have an equally bad read here. And you can't say no just because you like them better. Kevin's move is really bad. Is really bad. But again, it's understandable given his, you know, where he stands strategically. That if he can't trust Dylan, he needs to put up two people that at least if one of them goes home, it's not worst case scenario. He's not losing Kevin or Aika. Whereas Aika and Dimitri have nothing to lose by attempting to save one of themselves off the block, but they resigned themselves to it because they figured there was no chance whatsoever.
Well, they actually did have something to lose in this instance. If they had actually talked with Kevin and decided to say, hey, what about putting Dylan up on the block? What do you think about that? Then he wouldn't have done it in the first place.
That's not true. Kevin said afterward he was in a situation where Dimitri stays no matter what, in which case he needs to get Dylan out.
Which we know that's not true. There was a situation where Dimitris would really go, and that was by putting Karen up on the block. And by the way, I can't believe you're not reading him the Riot Act, because
I am reading him the Riot Act.
How does he put Dylan up on the block? Karen has been hanging out with Demetrius and Ika for 4 days straight before the veto ceremony. Like, literally. And Dylan has been hanging out in the HOH room. Dylan is the only guy who will hang out with Kevin, and he's been hanging out in the HOH room with him, and so he decides to put Dylan on the block.
I want to make this very clear. It was a really terrible move by Kevin. It was also terrible from Ika and Dimitri. It was also terrible from Karen, and it was also terrible from Dylan. None of them are playing well. Well, we just happened to be saying Kevin is the person in power, and he should be getting...
We expect more from him.
Exactly.
Yesterday, you were talking about how it might be the right move, but for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Is it possible that not talking to Kevin... not bringing this idea up to him, then he sort of thinks that this is his idea, his own move. If he was getting pressured by them to make this move, then it's something that he would never do in the first place.
Yes, again, it works out well for them. But still, bad move to not even try, because you can never expect Kevin to do this in the same way that you would never expect Karen to do this. Again, right move for the wrong reasons. Spread the blame out equally here. But again, Kevin certainly in the position of power, and it's a really terrible move. Just don't ignore the other bad moves from other people.
Yeah. I think it's bad also, but I mean, Kevin needed to win out anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Jordan said on Twitter, but there's a big difference between Rob. You saw that HOH. Rob, please, girl. You saw that HOH competition.
Yes.
Did you see Dylan trying to put up the right numbers in that HOH competition? Did you see that? Okay. Yeah. He doesn't even know what show he's on.
I would say that if you're Kevin, you have to break up the pair one way or the other. Like you have no business taking even having there be a chance, because the pair is what you have to be afraid of.
I don't think so. I think he had to use the veto on Ika regardless, because Ika was going to go home no matter what. So whether it was Dylan or it was Karen, it was still a better move to use the veto on Ika and replace her with somebody than to not use it at all.
See, I'm not buying into this whole like Dylan is a better competitor than Ika. Ika is fast. She's got good endurance. I mean, there are things that she can do. And by the way, she did better in that HOH competition with her days than Dylan did. Like I said, he doesn't even know.
Like one point.
Yeah.
You still did bad. Well, there was only like 6 questions. So, I mean, come on. I mean, you're looking for something to judge something. He couldn't even remember a few of the things that happened.
And he beat her in the triple eviction competition. So, I mean, like.
But
and
just
he's
because she's bad in the competitions, I don't know why everybody is sleeping on Ika. I mean, if this was Netta here at this point in the game, I feel like that nobody's like, oh, just leave Netta around. Yes, she's going to be better at remembering the days and stuff like that. But, I mean, isn't Ika the prohibitive favorite to win if she makes it to the final two?
What Taryn is thinking of is the fact that Kevin has to win out no matter what. If he doesn't win out, he's out. So he's never going to take Ika to the end anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if Kevin gets to the end, he's going to be against Karen. And I think Kevin realizes that.
And also, there are some physical competitions left, and Ika does not have the ability to beat Kevin in a physical competition, whereas Dylan does.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. I just feel like this has been Ika's season, and I feel like people are sleeping on her.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I've said before, but, as Taryn laments, it's like all down to the competitions at this point. So, Demetrius is also not acting self-interested. Like he is willing to keep Ika around, even though he had a drive with Cindy where she basically said, everyone views you as Ika's little pet. And so I feel like that if he was listening to the jury more and he realized what a massive threat Ika is to win the game, he would think, maybe I should actually cut her at some point and take Karen with me to the final two. But I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, if he wants to live. I mean, what good is $100,000 if you get murdered at the finale?
I think, like I said, I really want this scenario to play out where, sorry, Jordan, but I kind of want Kevin to lose the final four veto. I'm kind of rooting for Demetrius and Ika. This has been their season. And I want to see if he will take her to the final two. And I want to see if she will take him to the final two. That would be interesting.
I think they'll take each other. But I really do want to see Dimitri. I want to see the argument between them when Dimitri says, hey, but I mean, John did it to Netta, right? And just see her.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, and it'll be great to see Netta's reaction if Demetrius ends up taking Aika to the final two.
Oh, she'll hate it.
Yeah, she will not be happy about that. All right, let's get into some of these questions from the listeners. Here we go. And let's start off with Merlin Meridian Mary, who says, didn't Kevin already break the third bed revenge curse when he moved in it from the HOH the morning before the triple, Brent?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I mean, this has become a thing in the house. I think earlier today, Demetrius, like, Aika started to touch the bed, and he was like, Aika, don't touch the bed. Yeah. Like, so it's become a thing in the house. I'm glad they covered it, but there's nothing to this, and okay. Kevin realizes that.
All right. Nikki says, should Kevin have taken Karen's hatred for him more serious and tried to target her earlier, or were there just no opportunities? Taryn, is it possible? Has Karen been negging Kevin all season?
Karen is the secret Dr. Will.
Yes. Kevin's like, when somebody hates you, you know, it just makes you want to work with them more.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, right at the end, she's going to be really nice to him and he's going to be like, oh, my God, I love you. Yeah. You know, and like little does she know, that is exactly how you work Kevin, is you attack him and then he tries to be nice to you.
Yeah,
he has been aware of the fact that she is really paranoid right now. And I think earlier today I saw him on the feeds where he was saying, and the feeds have been off and on all day, but he was saying that he was thinking about like quote unquote, letting Karen overhear him talking at some point, like talking to himself so that she would do the opposite of what he was saying and think that she was plotting against him. But it's a little bit much.
Can Kevin just go talk to a real person in the house and not just be so in his head coming up with all these bad plans?
Like he said in the bathroom, like he's like, I'm happy to be by myself. I don't have to listen to anybody lying to me. But on the other hand, it's really grating on him because he has been hanging on the HOH room a lot by himself. And the other four have been like basically hanging out by themselves. And, you know, I feel a little bit bad for him because everyone's kind of been like, he's like the plague. No one wants to be around him.
Okay. Boy, Taryn, though, if Kevin really likes people who are mean to him, then he's going to really love Twitter when he gets out of the house.
He's going to love him so much.
He's
so much.
So into all his Twitter followers.
You know, I know we've been criticizing a lot of bad gameplay, but I will give credit to a little bit of good gameplay. At least Demetrius and Aika have realized that this week, even though it sucks and maybe it's not the human thing to do, they cannot hang out with Kevin, even though they kind of want to, because they feel bad for him, because they're afraid that they might lose Karen's vote. So they're making sure that they're hanging out with Karen all week and not to really talk to Kevin at all, because that's the one she despises.
Okay. She holds all the cards. Angie says, has anyone in BB history besides Karen killed their own game just to keep someone else from winning? Brent, would you say, is that a fair assessment? Karen is killing her own game to make sure somebody else doesn't win?
I mean, I don't think that she sees it that way. I think she thinks she's taking control of the narrative and getting the outcome she wants. And by that, she's the winner.
Sounds like a Brandon Hance.
Yeah, this is a little bit like you when you complain about people at the end of Survivor where they say, you know, well, I was the winner of my season. I was the winner, even though I just got voted out. So I feel like there's a little bit of that rearing its head with Karen, where even though she may not ultimately find a way to win, she's going to, like, you know, stab her flag in the ground and declare victory and go home when she gets Kevin out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody that spiked their game so much in order to propel other people forward. I mean, the obvious, like Clay and
right.
You know, that those kind
I
of
have
people.
To say that I think I said this on my Periscope, but there's a little bit of Karen in me too. I mean, I know I always joke that I'm like Aika, but there's an element in me that if I really despise someone that much, I would find a way to make sure that they wouldn't win. And I would be I would be like Team Petty, and like Team Petty is currently like Aika, Demetrius, and Karen on the feeds right now. But I'm all in for Team Petty. Yeah.
Taryn, has this podcast just become Brent's long form Big Brother application where he just talks about what good TV he'd be always in the house?
I would be like that, though. I know I would. Like,
I think the answer is yes, given that response.
Yeah,
Robin Cass, if you're watching, yeah. We got feeds gold for you.
And then as soon as he gets on the show, he's going to completely mellow out. He's going to be an entirely different person.
No, I'm sorry. That would be Jordan Parhar. No tea, no shit.
All right.
But JP has owned that, though. Come on. I'm not throwing shade at him. You're like, yeah.
V says, is there any way to defend Kevin's insane move in taking Aika off the block? I think we've covered that he feels like he needs to get one of these guys out of the house.
Yeah, he just, I mean, again, he just has like, a bad read on the situation.
Yeah. Right. It's typical Kevin, where like if you look at it from a purely strategic positioning's place, like okay, it makes sense. But when you're looking at it from the actual house in reality and like trying to read the situation, it's completely backwards.
Right. He's looking at the game board with the pieces that he wished were there. Like he wished that they were four logical people who were all behaving like he does, and then they would do what he wanted them to do.
Yeah.
But those pieces aren't on the game board right now. There are actual persons who are in the house who don't think the way you do, Kevin, and you're not reading them correctly.
But if I was really going to look at this, like just like completely clinically, if we just take a look at like what were Kevin's chances to win before he made this move? What are his chances to win after he makes this move? Did he have a 30% chance to win and now he's got like a 15% chance to win? Yeah, what do you think, Taryn?
I actually think it's a net positive for his game. Because again, I think he would have lost Ika as opposed to Dylan. And I do think that Dylan is a stronger competitor than Ika and presents more of an obstacle in his way. I think he would have improved his chances even better if he had put Karen on the block and taken a Dimitri out. But I still think it's a better outcome than the status quo from before.
Yeah. Let me be like Alex Kidwell here for a second. It's sort of like a pool game where your stripes and the other person is solids and you're trying to hit one of your balls, but you accidentally knock a stripe ball into the pocket, but it was kind of blocking one of your shots anyway. So it ends up being okay, even though you knocked one of somebody else's balls in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all in for it.
Exactly like that.
Okay. All right. John Heddle says, if the punishments had been real, Karen for sure would have given the no Final Four veto to Kevin, right? It would have guaranteed his eviction. Yeah. Somebody said in the chat that Big Brother told her which punishments to give. Are you buying that, Brent? Why wouldn't they trust her with giving out the punishments?
Well, maybe they wanted to make sure that, I mean, I think it would have been more funny to give Kevin the no Final Four veto because like, I think he was totally okay. You saw him like hug Karen. Like he was totally okay with like of the four punishments, like, losing a jury vote isn't that big of a deal, but I absolutely have to play in the Final Four veto. So
That was a fantastic outcome for Kevin. If that had been real, Kevin's chances of winning would have gone way up because Dimitri can't compete in Final Four. He loses a jury vote, but that probably doesn't matter anyway. Yeah. So that would have been fantastic.
Yeah, Kevin was like, it's okay, Karen. I get it. It's okay. I think that the punishments should have been much more radical. Like, I feel like that they were bad, but they weren't like catastrophic. I mean, if it's a fake thing,
they
I feel
catastrophic.
Like,
I think they can't even vote. I mean,
should have been slop the whole rest of the way. That would have really made somebody upset.
It's only like a week though.
The one should have been like instant eviction. Just like really like get somebody set off.
Dan already did that though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. A couple more questions. Marjorie wants to know, can Netta still win the game? No. I'll say that is.
Oh, that's a great question.
I don't think so. Yeah. I said at one point there was a non-zero chance that Netta was going to be the winner of the season.
After she had been evicted.
Yeah,
I don't think it was a non-zero chance. I think you predicted that Netta was going to be the winner.
Yeah, I think your words were something to be effective.
Hey, no guts, no glory. That was one hell of a call like 4 weeks ago.
You weren't being Fitzy Fencerton. You were Stan. I liked it.
but amazingly, no buybacks this season. Worth noting. Yeah.
No buybacks.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all here for it. I'm glad they didn't have no buybacks.
Okay. Yeah. And again, shouldn't be understated how great the season has, become. And I think a large part of that is that these twists have been minimal and the ones that have happened have had very little impact on the game. And we're seeing a great game because
they could have gotten really screwed on the triple eviction.
Very, very could have.
They
yes.
really could have been. If we're sitting here tonight and we're talking about what, like the four newbies and what, who would have been safe?
I guess Ika maybe.
Maybe Kevin and the four newbies. It could have been rough because this is this is not the darkest timeline by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, Mr. K17, Kevin making Dylan's final days uncomfortable, bad jury management or brilliant master manipulator? Taryn, can you explain why this would be a brilliant move?
What is Kevin doing to make Dylan uncomfortable?
I don't know.
Well, put him on the block. Like, he's been spending all that time with him, and then he made a final two with him, and then he decided to put him on the block and didn't even talk to him about it ahead of time. So it's terrible jury management from my point of view with Kevin.
Sure. I mean, the move itself certainly doesn't lend itself to Dylan's jury vote. But I don't, there's nothing like he's doing, you know, as far as his relationship with Dylan to lose his jury vote, as far as I'm aware.
Okay. All right, let's do one more question. Stephanie wants to know, how can jury vote for Kevin to win after he takes Ika off the block this week like this? I think if he gets there, I think that he has a lot of friends in that jury, no?
I mean, again, to the person who asked this question, like I said many times in this podcast, the only way Kevin's going to get to the final two if he's against Karen. And if he's against Karen, I don't really think there's an argument that you can make that Karen was, you know, totally self-interested the whole time and was trying to win the game. Kevin at that point would probably just get most of the people's votes. I mean, I think, like I said, I think that there are votes that are up for grabs. Whether or not there are five of them, I really don't think is possible. And, you know, maybe Kevin can explain this move and try to make them see what he was seeing. The question really only holds if somebody like Ika or Demetrius is in the final two with Kevin, but that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I only get to do this podcast once a week, most weeks. This week, I'll be back on Thursday. But, you know, one thing I didn't get to talk about, which I think was the most ridiculous thing I saw on this show this week, was the jury house segment where Cindy started going off on Bruno about her putting Netta on the block. And I thought that that was so hilarious that I mean,
hilarious.
It was just that Bruno like was just like the scapegoat where for like the last week and a half or however long that Cindy and Netta had been together, like Cindy was just spinning it to Netta like, yeah, I didn't even want to, you know, if Bruno would have said something, I would have not done it. And then Bruno shows up and now Cindy had to be like fronting to Bruno where she's like, well, Bruno, what the hell? Why didn't you tell me to not vote Netta out? I thought that was so funny of that Cindy being mad at Bruno about putting Netta on the block.
Well, she wasn't totally inaccurate with what she said. I mean, obviously Bruno had said, you know, not a good idea. I wouldn't do it if I were you. But Bruno did not put his foot down and say,
"Well, we killed Bruno for that." But Cindy's gotta own her decision because I'm pretty sure Brent, as you remember, that we asked Cindy in the exit interview about like, she's like, "Oh no, I would. That was a good move. I think
I would do it again." Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes, I had been thinking of it for many weeks. Yes, exactly.
And Cindy was basically saying that Bruno didn't say anything. And Bruno was like, don't do this. This is not good. He didn't like grab her and shake her, but he was pretty adamant about the fact that he didn't want this to happen. I love even Arissa on Twitter was calling Cindy out for this.
Yeah.
So when Arissa is coming for you, you know, you've done something a little
wrong. I think that Cindy was just trying to make peace in the jury house with Netta. And then she was in for a rude awakening when Bruno showed up right after her and wasn't going to go along with whatever she said the narrative was.
Yeah, I thought that was so ridiculous. You guys did a good job covering it on Thursday night, but I just wanted to weigh in on that. All right, so speaking of Thursday, we're going to be all together up in Toronto. I'll be flying out tomorrow. Taryn, you're traveling Tuesday. Brent, when are you getting there?
I'm getting there at 11:30 in tomorrow morning.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. So a quick turnaround.
I got to go to the casino, Rob. There's Canadian casinos there.
Okay. All right, well, looking forward to seeing everybody over there. On Wednesday night, JP will be back, and we'll get a different side of the Kevin saga on Wednesday night with Jordan. He'll be live with Melissa. And then on Thursday night, we will have no live show, but we will be recording the audio and video of our live show from Toronto, and then we will get that posted for you guys as soon as possible on our Rehap Ups channel. Anything else I should mention before we log off tonight?
Nothing but a really, really fun week. Probably my favorite Final Five ever, I think, as far as Big Brother Canada goes. I mean, that even includes Big Brother Canada 2, which I really loved, and even Big Brother Canada 3, which I love, Sarah and Brittany. But this Final Five has just taken the cake. When I saw that all of them had advanced past the triple into the Final Five, you know, and obviously they needed Dylan's help to save Ika, like, I was like totally fine with any one of these five people winning the game. Like, I was like, I like all these people. They're very fun, and they've continued their fun gameplay. Not great gameplay, but fun gameplay. way throughout this week.
Okay. Taryn, any final thoughts?
I mean, like I said, I'm enjoying the season a lot. I will be recording a podcast with Lita in Toronto. We'll be talking about Team Ninja Warrior. That's always fun. My relationship with Lita is a little bit like my relationship with Brent. She's
rainbows and roses. Yes.
Rainbows and roses and, less yelling and more jokes probably.
Okay. All right. So exactly the same. Okay. All right, guys, good stuff tonight. Make sure you're subscribed to our wrap ups feed to make sure you don't miss anything else. We'll be back with more Big Brother Canada later this week. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.